Well, indeed, tonight, what we want to do is we just want to give praise to the Lord. I'm so glad you've come back tonight to this service, which is really going to be all about Jesus. We just want to honor Him. We want to praise Him. We want to cry out to Him because we need Him. We need an awakening. You know, as I think about our country and our nation and where we are, there's all kinds of things to be in despair about. But you know what? We have Jesus Christ, and with Jesus, all things are possible, and we can see revival. But again, guys, I've been saying this, and I believe it with all my heart, and I'm not there yet, but I want to be there. But we've got to be hungry for revival. We've got to long for Jesus. We've got to have an intimacy with Jesus like we've not had for a long time, because revival begins in the church. Let me show you something. I was so honored today by what you guys did for me. I had no idea. I really did not. I didn't get a chance to tell you about the candy bar story in the first service anyway. If you wonder why they gave me these Buenos, which, by the way, they don't fit in really well with my Weight Watchers app. And so Gina has been saying no bueno all afternoon. But nevertheless, this candy bar, I ate one of these not too long ago and just thought, man, this is the best thing. And I got another one. And then I got another one, another one. And so when Steve and Janetta and Gina and I went to the Southern Baptist Convention, I said, you guys are good. There's this candy bar out there. We were getting ready to stop at a truck stop, just stopping on the road on the way to Nashville. And I said, there is this great candy bar. I've tried. I've not had anything like this. I don't know when. It is so good, but it probably won't be in here because I can hardly find it in Lebanon. And so we went into that truck stop, and guess what? We found these. And so I bought one for Steve and for Janetta and Gina. And so that's the little side joke on this, where this candy bar came from. You know, I guess you might say that right now I'm kind of addicted to this candy bar. Isn't it funny what we can get addicted to? The things that we can just get so attached to that we can't wait to spend time there. And they're not always bad things. Sometimes they are unhealthy or bad things, but I just thought about addictions. What if we were addicted to spending time with Jesus? I mean, what if we couldn't get enough of Jesus? If we just wanted to spend time together individually and as a body. Not necessarily with an agenda. I mean, it's one thing to ask Him for things, and it's not wrong to ask, but what if we just spent time addicted to being with Jesus? That's what I'm longing for. That's why I'm calling what we're doing tonight and in the future an awakening. This is an awakening that I hope will lead to a prayer movement. And it's not just unique to Hillcrest. There's other churches that are doing this. We saw this modeled in Nashville. And I've been so excited to share this with you guys. So we went to a church Sunday that is experiencing genuine revival. Long Hollow Baptist Church outside suburban Nashville. They've seen over 1,100 people baptized since December. I mean, a God-sent revival. Well, imagine my surprise when Pastor Robbie Gallaty said, it's all based on prayer. They were prayerlessness, and they just had to get desperate for God and addicted to God and prayer and Jesus. And God began to move in a mighty way. Well, imagine our surprise when that night, that Sunday night, before the pastor's conference for the convention started, they had a prayer meeting. Room about 1,200 people, just filled with people. I mean, there wasn't an empty seat at the place. Rod Everidge joined us that night. And Robbie Gallaty led that prayer service. And guys, I'm telling you, it was powerful. It's one of those kind of prayer services you can get addicted to. You want to go back again and again and again. And it was not agenda driven. It was all about honoring Jesus, getting our hearts right before the Lord, getting addicted to spending time in the presence of the Lord. Well, at the end of that prayer service, another gentleman came up. His name is Nathan Leno. He's a pastor at Northeast Houston Baptist Church. Guess what? This church last year, y'all remember what happened last year? Started praying desperately to God because of all that was going on in this country. Not just COVID, but the racial unrest, the difficult political season we were in with the election, contention, all the things going on. And now they have about approximately 350 people on an average Tuesday night. On a Tuesday night, that'll come for about 90 minutes just to pray and sit in the presence of Jesus. Folks, I've heard these guys say things, and this is a comment from Nathan Leno. He says, there have been hundreds of stories of people's lives being changed. This is in his church. Marriages being healed. Broken singlehoods being redeemed. People getting jobs who couldn't. Houses selling that weren't. We've had quite a few verified medical healings It's been unbelievable. But listen what he went on to say. But the greatest thing about this is just the palpable presence of the Lord in that prayer service on Tuesday nights. He said, it's unlike anything I've ever been a part of in my entire life. It's incredible. And listen to this. I want you to hear this before we pray tonight. One of the things we've come to learn, this is the pastor in Houston, is once we decided to come to the Lord in order to get the Lord rather than his stuff, then he granted us his presence. And the biggest thing that has resulted is a far greater desire in our hearts to sit in his presence. It's addictive, just like a candy bar can be addictive. The more he has manifested his presence, the more we want to spend time in it. And so tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend time in his presence. And so what I want to ask you to do may be a little uncomfortable for you. You may have never been in a prayer service like this, but just try it. Let's just do it because we are desperate for the Lord. I want what's going on in some of these places. And not only that, but I want it to be a widespread move of God's hand all over this land. I want revival like I've never wanted it before. I want it in my life personally. I want it for you. I want it for our nation. And so what I'm going to ask you to do right now is just to form some small groups all over this auditorium. Just get into a group. I don't want any more than 4 or 5 people in that group. If you just find your way into a group right now, there are some who may be appointed as key leaders. If you're a small group prayer leader tonight, you might just raise your hand up or stand up so they'll identify you. We may need some other leaders too. But just kind of gravitate towards some of these folks who are going to be leaders tonight because we're going to pray together. We're going to get back to corporate prayer. You know, the prayer we've been doing on Wednesday night has been great, but it's been very passive. You've been listening to myself or Gina or maybe a few people up here pray. We need the body to start praying together. And so we're going to pray for one another tonight. And that's where we've got to be transparent with each other. I know some of us know each other and have known each other for years. Others may not know each other as well, but please just find some people that you can pray with tonight. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have some guided prayer topics that are designed for us to worship the Lord Jesus and to get our hearts right with Jesus tonight. And just to seek his face. He is our Savior. And he longs for us to be related to him. Relationship. Close to him. And so we're going to do that right now. As you're finding your way, we're going to get our hearts and minds ready for this sweet, sweet time of prayer. We're going to accentuate it with worship. Pastor Steve's going to help us in worship tonight with the praise band. And we're going to worship the Lord as we pray to him. That's a powerful element in coming together for corporate prayer. And so we're going to come together right now. Hopefully you've found a place. And again, let's not get any larger than 4 or 5 people. Small groups praying together and crying out to the Lord. I'm going to join a small group too when I'm not up here on this stage. All of us are praying together. And we're going to pray for some specific topics. The first thing we're going to do though, the first topic is something you're going to do individually on your own. It's the only individual prayer you'll do all night. But right now, we're going to have a time of personal prayer, of confession, repentance, and renewal. I don't know what it is that you need to talk to the Lord about right now, privately, quietly, in your heart, in your mind. Maybe there's a root of bitterness in your heart. Maybe there's a sin that you've been committing, a besetting sin. You just need to bring it before him right now. Maybe there's jealousy in your heart. Maybe there's sadness. Maybe there's brokenness. But right now, I just want people to begin to pray. Again, just by yourself. The rest of the night, you'll pray with the group. But I want you to listen to a couple of verses I want to read tonight as we pray for repentance, confession. And again, we pray that we want to be close to the Lord again. We want to pray to see God move in our lives. Psalm chapter 66, verse 16. Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth, and praise was on my tongue. If I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. However, God has listened. He has paid attention to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God. He has not turned away my prayer or turned his faithful love from me. Don't you want that in your life? Man, you got to get honest with God to have that kind of prayer relationship with the Lord. And then another passage is out of the book of Daniel. Daniel was a great prayer warrior. He was a prophet, but he was a mighty prayer warrior. And this is what he says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 17. This is in more of a corporate sense. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer and the petitions of your servant. Make your face shine on your desolate sanctuary for the Lord's sake. Listen closely, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that bears your name. Maybe your heart broke over the condition of our country right now. For we are not presenting our petitions before you based on our righteous acts, but based on your abundant compassion. Listen to verse 19. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. My God, for your own sake, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I want you to bow your heads right now. Close your eyes. Just begin to talk to the Lord your God right now, privately. Talk to him about your life. Talk to him about your hurts, your habits, your struggles, the things that you've kept from him. Maybe you've not talked to him like this in a long time. Well, this is a great time to start. He'll listen. He will hear an honest prayer. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Just use this time. In your heart, cry out to the Lord. We're going to be quiet for just a moment. It's going to be silent in here because this is going to be a silent time of confession and repentance and renewal. We want to be passionate about the Lord again. We want to get back to our first love with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. I come to you tonight asking you to forgive me. Forgive me for when I've been prayerlessness, Lord, or being casual in my time that I spend with you. Forgetting to make the main thing, just presenting petitions to you, going about my daily business, just checking it off my list like it's another task to be done. When I have the privilege to sit at the feet of the mighty God of all eternity, who spoke this very universe into existence and loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for my sins and proved it by his powerful resurrection. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for when I've been casual in my Christian walk and life, or when I've let the things of this world crowd out my heart. Forgive me for the jealousy that's in my heart, Lord. When I look at another pastor, another church, or I see something that's going on, instead of just praising God for what he's doing in that church, I think, why isn't that happening with me? I wish that could happen for me. Lord, forgive me for when I've not been patient with my wife and helped her to be my bride. Lord, I'm supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. I don't always do that. And I ask that you forgive me, Lord. I pray that you would just help us. I pray for your spirit to come down on this place tonight. We are desperate for too long. And I'm not pointing my finger at anyone in particular, but we as a church in America have just been going through the motions. Lord, I see people when I've been able and fortunate to travel in other countries. I hear about things that are going on, even in places like Afghanistan tonight, where churches are paying a steep price for their faith. And yet they're doing it willingly and gladly. We think we've got so much here. Lord, they're the ones who are rich. They're the ones who are rich in their faith. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be opened. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be opened, our hearts would be opened spiritually. Father, I just thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. Thank you how you bear with us, Lord. But there's a time for us to move. And to get right with you again. And this is the time. This is the time for our nation. This is the time for our church. And this is the time for me, Lord. And so I just ask that you would hear our prayer. And that these barriers of sin would be removed. Lord, as we repent or turn from the sin. Not sorry I've gotten caught, but turn and live differently. So that I can be a different person. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Type of person that will be living in the presence of the Spirit. And it'll draw others to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would have that prayer in our lips tonight, in our hearts. For your great glory and for your sake, we worship and honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. All God's people said, amen. Let's continue to worship. Our first topic tonight is hearing the Lord in a crisis. You can go ahead and be seated. Hearing the Lord in a time of crisis. You know, it goes without saying, the past 17 months have been challenging, frustrating, anxiety-ridden. And the truth of the matter is we don't know what the end of it all is yet. It's just been very, very difficult. And many of us, truth be told, have become depressed. Maybe we've become cynical. We've become shaken by what we've seen. And so that's why I framed this question the way I have tonight. Hearing the Lord in the time of a crisis. Because that's what we have the opportunity to do. What if there's an opportunity in the midst of the difficulty that we're facing right now? What if God wants to say something to us? What if God is trying to speak to us right now? I've got a verse I want to share with you. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. That verse says, look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So tonight you may have come broken. You just admit it. You know, we've all lost something in these last several months. We've lost a lot. But maybe God is making a new way. Maybe God wants to do something new. God wants to bring something new and great through the ashes of what has happened. Few great men of God that I really respect have written words about this before we pray. Tony Evans recently said, this is not about a virus. This is a divine disruption. That's what it is right now, a divine disruption. We need to take advantage of it. We need to ask the Lord, what are you saying to us? C.S. Lewis, great man of God, said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And then Henry Blackaby, author of Experiencing God, said, each time God sends hurricanes or floods or other calamities, he is speaking to his people. But what's sad and even tragic is that God's people often never make the connection. They never make the connection. Folks, let's connect with God tonight. Let's just talk to him together in these small groups. I want you to cry out to him. If you want to pray for a need or something, you can do that. But here's what I want to frame it around. Is God, what are you saying to us in this crisis? We're listening. And worship God. Worship Jesus tonight as you pray together. Topic number one is about the times that we're in. And how is God wanting to speak to us? What is God wanting to say to us tonight? So get into your small groups now and pray to the Lord simultaneously out loud. Let's pray. For you now as we pray over this first topic. And Lord, what you have revealed to my heart as I think about what you are doing through this pandemic and through all these struggles is, Lord, you're revealing that this is a hurting, broken world in which we live. And it's hurting and broken right now, but it's always hurting and broken. And Lord, we need to have our ears and eyes and hearts and minds ready. Lord, we are your ambassadors. We're your hands and your feet. And so first of all, Lord, we've just got to fully rely on you. And I want to confess right now that sometimes I get anxious. Sometimes I have my agenda. Sometimes I'm relying on my strength. I'm an American, Lord, and you have blessed us with so much. But we think that we can get out of this jam using our money, our influence, or our power, or our might. Truth of the matter is we don't have any answers. There's very little we really do control. It's in your hands. And yet, Lord, that is a wonderful place. Because your word says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, to make our requests known. And that you will give us a peace that passes understanding. And you say to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto you. And so my prayer is just that you would help me to reprioritize my heart and my agenda and my schedule. And Lord, even when I'm doing good things, if you want to interrupt something and you want to use me for a gospel conversation or for some divine appointment you have in mind, I want to be open to that. Help me to be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters who are gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray that we might be a voice that would comfort someone who is hopeless, someone who is beaten down by the cares of this world. Lord, I pray that it might spark an opportunity, a relationship might spark an opportunity to have a gospel conversation. And somebody might be saved. Maybe many somebodies would be saved. And they would hear the gospel afresh and new. But we've got to live it out so we can speak it out and speak it forth. So Lord, just help us. Help us to learn that in these times we really are seeing that we're not in control, that you're the one who's in control. And Lord, even when things seem out of control, you are the one who controls it all. And so we honor you, we worship and praise you, and we ask that you would help us to live with boldness and confidence that you understand and you have it all under control, and you will help us, and there's nothing that's going to happen to us that's outside of the center of your will. And so we can go through that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I pray that we would understand that and live that out. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The next topic that we need to talk about tonight is... That was a horrible song to sing right before I came up here, by the way. Oh, man. Not a horrible song. That was the wrong word, but... Guys, get serious about lostness in our world. You know, I've traveled a lot this summer. My wife told me I've been gone way too much. And this last trip, I really kind of felt that way, especially at the beginning of the trip. I thought, man, I've been away from home a whole lot, probably more than I ever have in my life. Well, we went to a couple of places in Montana, and they really do need Jesus. You know, the Big Sky Baptist Church sat right across the road from a Methodist church and down the road a Lutheran church. Not that there's not churches in Montana, but there's not evangelistic churches in Montana. And just to be able to go out and evangelize and see that church want to evangelize. You ever argue with the Lord? I did today. I did yesterday. I told Brother David, I said, I picked on the famous verse in scripture to start this off today. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But verse 17 is the best. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And if you can't see the vision that Jesus has for this world of people wanting them to be saved, every person in this world has the opportunity. And he's gave evidence of himself in Romans. He tells us he gave everybody evidence. But not everybody's heard the name of Jesus. Not everybody's been able to have the opportunities that I've had. We go to dark places where they don't know the name of Jesus. Even in America today, there's places that people don't know really who Jesus is. They've heard of him, but he's just a man that lived a long time ago. He's written in the history books. But Jesus said it like this in Luke 19:10. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And he passed that on to us. He passed that to you and I. When we gave our heart and life to Christ, that's what he gave us to do. He gave us a mission. I don't care where you, what you do. I've worked in bunches of different factories in Lebanon. I've worked at Tracker. I've worked at Low Boats. I've done a whole lot of different things. I've worked on dairy farms. I've run equipment. And every one of those places, God had me there for a reason. It was to reach the people that was in my circle. And that's the reason you're where you're at today as well. The only bad thing about becoming a full-time associate pastor is it removes you from being in the world where there is lost people. I can come in here every day and be around somebody that's saved and rejoice in that hope that I have every day. But we as pastors have got to get out of that and get into the world to where we can do what we tell you to do each and every day. And that's the reason I love my youth trips and I love going on mission for Christ, because that puts me in the places that I need to be. And I'll finish out with this. Acts 1:8 says it this way. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Guys, you've already got the power. You received the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus Christ. He came to live inside of you and me. And everybody else out here that has accepted Jesus has the Holy Spirit. The power is there. We tend to squash the Spirit and quench the Spirit to the point that we won't speak up for Jesus when we're ought to be speaking up for Jesus. It's totally up to us. Why? Because we don't use the power. We try to do it in our own flesh. And it isn't going to work that way. The only way it's going to work is you to depend, Lord, help me to speak the right words at this time and this moment for this person. Because I need your power. I can't do it by myself. I call it bullet prayers. I don't care what you call them, but guys, you just got to ask for the Holy Spirit to give you the words to speak. And He will speak through you mightily if you will let Him. Listen to what the rest of the verse says. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Guys, you're His witnesses wherever you go. I want you to think today, as I set this up for you guys to pray, I want you to think today about the people that you question whether they're truly saved. Every one of you got them. Whether it's your neighbor down the street, in the apartment next door, in the house below you. We had new neighbors move in just while I was gone. There was new neighbors around my house. Do I know whether they're saved? No. Have I ever stopped in the last 2 weeks? No. Should I have stopped? I believe so. Who are they in your life? How can you get serious about lostness if you won't even pray for the ones that you don't know whether they're saved or not? And just like Brother David said this morning, I run into so many people that say, yeah, I'm saved. But guys, do they really know Jesus? Or do they just know about Jesus? Have they really trusted Jesus? And can you build a relationship? See, that's the thing. Can you build a relationship so you can ask them that very question? Whether they really know Him or do they just know about Him? So that's what we got to be. We got to be His witnesses. Because I truly know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I don't have to worry about it, because Jesus told me if I trust in Him, He will save me, that I have eternal life. I don't have to wonder, because my faith is in Him. It's not in anything I do, it's in Him. But they may be trusting in their works and not in Him. So as you pray, think about those people. Jesus, when He came across people, He worked in their lives and had conversation with them. So when you pray tonight, just pray for the people. And maybe you're self-employed. I don't know what you do for a living. But you come across people every day that might need Jesus. Will you allow Jesus to open the door? Will you just take some time and pray about the people, the lostness of our world, of our nation? To come to you tonight, knowing that your will is for the lost to be saved. Father, you sent your Son into the world, that the world could be saved by Him. And Lord, as Jesus said in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and to save those that are lost. And Father, you have chosen each one of us, Father, to be your witnesses in this place as well as around the world, Father God, as we go, wherever we go. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would just help us to be aware. Father, help us to live in the awareness of being able to share the hope that we have in you, that we have eternal life. And Father, no matter what happens, Father, in our lives, Father God, that you have us in your hand. And Father, you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And Father, that we have the power to speak in your name, because you gave us that power. Each one of us has a story to tell. Each one of us has a testimony and can witness about the change that has occurred in our lives, Father God. And we need to go back to that change. Father God, I know the changes that have occurred in my life has given me assurance that I have the Holy Spirit living in my life. And Father, that I want more of the Holy Spirit living in my life. Father God, I want Him to control my life. I want to be able to say yes, sir, to the Holy Spirit when he tells me to do something, and not question and not argue, but just to do. Father, I just pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our next topic tonight is discipleship, mentoring, and the next generation. You know, discipleship is something that's really close to God's heart. When Jesus came to earth, he took 12 men and he mentored them and discipled them for 3.5 years. I think back to the Old Testament. I think back to Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha. And just the people that have mentored people in the Old Testament as well as the New. Think about Paul and Timothy. Discipleship and mentoring, there's not too much difference in those two. As I was reading about those things, really, and coaching, a lot of you guys will know Gary Amos. He was a long time coach at Plato, and he always told me that there wasn't much difference in my job and his job. He was a coach, a basketball coach, and he said, there's not much difference between you and I. All we can do is scream from the sidelines and hope that other people do what we ask them to do. But I hope my job's a little bit more than that. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will move you to do that. You know, as the Lord would have it, He put both of these Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28:18 through 20 in my path today. And one of them was because of we are called to be His witnesses. And then in Matthew 28, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Do you hear that? If you have the Holy Spirit, that's part of the Trinity, and all authority has been given to Him. You have all authority in the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Guys, we're supposed to make disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what the church is to be about. Every one of us ought to have somebody that we're discipling or mentoring into the faith. Maybe they're already in the faith and you're just helping them grow in the faith. Maybe they're somebody close to you. Maybe it's a brother or a sister or a mom or dad. You know, my dad, I don't know that he ever grew past, I don't know if he ever got past 1 year old in the faith. He still didn't understand a whole lot, but I know that he confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He questioned a lot. You ever been around a 1 or a 2 year old? Man, have they got the questions? But I think about how they trust as well. You know, if you ask my little grandchildren right now, Jaxie or any of them, to jump off the bar into my arms, they'll do it automatically because they trust me. They know that I'll catch them. And by golly, if I didn't, I'd be in a world of hurt. My wife would club me for sure. But guys, let me tell you something. Don't you believe that way about Jesus? Don't you believe that if you are going to try to mentor and disciple somebody, that He'll be there with you? He said, I'll be with you till the end of the age. That's the last statement in that verse. Then He says in 2 Timothy 2:1-2, it says, You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me, and this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, look, be strengthened. You are my child. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, and trust the faithful men who will teach others also. So what me and Pastor David preach on Sunday, you're supposed to take it out and teach it to other people. Maybe just to start a conversation. Maybe it's something that just burns in your heart and you just can't forget what the Lord said to you through the Holy Spirit. And you need to relay that message on. Maybe it's to somebody that's in your presence. Not necessarily that you've took him under your wing, but maybe you have. But you ought to have somebody like that in your wing, underneath your wing, to help them in their faith. And you can't do that without this. In John 13, 34 and 35, he says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Guys, it's just the fact that if we're doing this, then we're showing the love of Jesus Christ to people. Okay? And there's so many people out there in this world. I've got so many relatives and friends that don't see the need for us to gather together. They can be Christians out there in the world, but they can't be the Christians they ought to be without a body of Christ to support them. Without the body of Christ. They're just one body of Christ. We're just one part of the body of Christ here at Hillcrest. But I think we're a strong part. And every one of us needs to be a part of the body of Christ. There's no Lone Ranger Christians out there. Nobody can be all by themselves. Discipleship, mentoring, and the next generation, and that's what I deal with, is people that's coming up, our teenagers. And there's lots of them here tonight. And I'm proud that they came, because I told them beforehand that we're going to be a part. I'm so proud of every one of them that came to be a part of this prayer service. Just pray for them that they will be able to mentor their doors. I've heard stories from our youth group of them telling other people about Jesus. And some of them even leading people to Christ. And we ought to celebrate that. A lot more than I probably have. But just pray today for the people that you would bring up beside you and mentor them and disciple them and teach them as the scriptures have said. Because if you're saved, you can do all three of those things by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Have been discipled, Father God, by men, Father, that poured into me. Father, people that, neighbors and people that led our youth group when I was a kid growing up, teaching me the Bible, and Father, how they loved on me. And Father, as I said at the end of the time there, Father God, if we loved the way you loved, Father God, there'd be no doubt, Father. But as the world looks at it, Father, when we tell them that they're doing something against God, they look at it as hate, not love. Lord, I pray that you would give us a boldness. I pray that for our youth groups that's in school, Father, no matter whether they're in sixth grade all the way up, Father God, I just pray what they've been taught, Father, will be attacked. And Father, I pray that we will be prepared to help them through the questions that they have. Father, the things that you have given in your word, Father, it's truth. Father, your word is truth. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that we would just be able to answer those questions when they come home from school and are beaten down. Father, I pray that we would be able to show love like Jesus showed love to the ones that were living in sin. Father, he ate with them and he talked with them and he took part of them. And Father, help us to do that as well. Father, because that's what you've done. But Father, you didn't condone sin. You called sin, sin. And Father, help us to do the thing, but help us to do it in love. Father, I pray that we would look around us and see the people that need to be discipled or mentored. And Father, whether they're the youth or whether they're just somebody that has accepted Jesus Christ, and maybe they're even older than us, Father God, that we could mentor them even in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, you don't always have to be an older person leading a younger person, because Timothy was younger than a lot of the people that he pastored. But Lord, he had words that Paul wanted him to remember. And Father, to pass it on to faithful men and women. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to pass it on to the people that's around us. Help us to teach, as Matthew 28 said, teach them everything that I have told you and that I have commanded you. Father, help us to be bold in our witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd all stand, we're going to worship. Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Then on the at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ our King. Yes, let's praise Him. In robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus. Forevermore.
of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore.
Praise you.
For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand tonight. Thank you, Lord. Talk about. We just sang a song that is the key to your freedom. Your freedom in forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for your sin. And through Him and through His shed blood, you're saved. You're forgiven. You're in a right relationship with God. But as I think about that equation, I think about something else. And Bradley touched on it a moment ago about the fact that we are first believers and then we're to be belongers. There's a lot of people today that really don't like being a part of a church. Or if they are a part of a church, they're from a distance. And I realize there's some reasons for that. Probably a lot of people in this room could tell stories of hurts. You've been hurt in a church. You've been burned in a church. Maybe you've been betrayed in a church. But what if I were to tell you tonight that one of the keys to revival, one of the keys to you being personally healed, maybe spiritually healed, physically healed, relationally, spiritually healed, is through relationships with one another. I mean, it's all over God's Word. It's why God has given us the church. And I know that I'm asking you to be out on a limb, kind of. I'm going to ask you to be transparent just a moment, but listen. If you want God to touch your life, if you want to move into a level that you've not been for a long time, maybe ever, then you need us. We need one another. We need the brothers and sisters who are in this body. For instance, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? He says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And then there's Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes these words. He says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so we're to carry each other's burdens. And then finally, there's one in James. I'm going to read this one and then we're going to do the last prayer point, which is all about community and unity. It says in James chapter 5 verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. So here's what I'm asking you to do in this last time of prayer tonight. Somebody out there is hurting. Somebody out there really is lonely. You're afraid. You're struggling. Would you just stand to your feet right now in your group? Just stand to your feet if you want someone in your group. And group, if somebody stands, if they've got the boldness to stand to their feet tonight, you lay your hand on them and you pray for them right where they are. You may not know the situation, but you pray for that person who's bold enough to say tonight, yeah, I need somebody to pray for me. I need my brothers and sisters in this body to pray for me. Is there someone tonight who's bold enough to do that? Just stand to your feet. You guys gather around them. You love on them. You pray heaven down on them tonight. Some are standing right now. So folks, gather around them. Maybe there's others. If you need to go to somebody, you can do that. But this is the last component tonight. We need to get serious about praying for one another. We've got to be open and transparent in our relationships and let God work through. God will bring healing. That's what the book of James says. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. How can we experience revival? How can we share the gospel with a hurting world when we don't have healing in our own lives? Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Let's love each other. That's how people will know that we're Christians, by our love. Gather around hurting people tonight and let's pray for them. And this is kind of like a closing prayer, but it's not a close. You stay as long as you want tonight, as long as you need to pray for one another. Maybe you need to go to somebody tonight. Maybe there needs to be more prayer that takes place after this is finished right now, but I'm going to close it out with a closing prayer. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for taking time to spend time with our precious Heavenly Father. Lord, I love you so much, and my heart is full tonight. Lord, I thank you for how you have blessed my heart tonight and refreshed me. This has been a season of refreshing. Lord, as we're praying right now around this room for one another, and we may not even know specifics right now, I pray that that would continue. Lord, I pray that we would love each other well, because we're not going to really be able to love the world well until we love each other well and love you well. And so God, I just pray that we'd have a longing to spend more time at your feet like this. Kind of like we talked about at the beginning of the service tonight, that this would become addictive. That we would long together, and we're going to try to do this on Wednesday nights. Lord, maybe other impromptu times. Maybe there's other folks in this community, other believers, other churches are going to come along. But we know that we need to get serious. Serious about prayer. Intercessory prayer. Prayer for unity in the body. Lord, we need to get serious about asking you, what are you wanting to do in my life in the midst of this crisis? Lord, maybe I have other crises in my life. But you are at work in the midst of that. And there's something you're trying to teach me or show me. Lord, you're wanting me to get serious about lostness. I prayed in my small group a short time ago that, Lord, I would get more concerned about my neighbor's condition spiritually than whether or not he's mowing on my property. Lord, I just confess that. And I confess that now before everyone. I pray that you would help us to get serious about lostness all over the world. Lord, if you're calling us to go to another country or to another city, or if you're calling us to someone right here in Lebanon, help us to, our hearts to break for people who need Jesus. Lord, I pray for discipleship too. I'm like Bradley. I'm so grateful for the next generation, and I'm so glad that they're here with us tonight. Lord, we don't know what it's like to grow up in the 2020s. There are things and temptations they face that were unimaginable in my day. And yet there are other things that are common that I experienced and others before me experienced. But I thank you for young people, next gen people who love you. And I realize that they're in the minority in their generation right now. Maybe not here in Lebanon, but certainly nationwide. And they're going to come against opposition and maybe even outright attack. Give them boldness. Give them courage. Give them, Lord, that joy, the joy of the Lord in their hearts and in their souls. Lord, I pray that we would do a good job of mentoring them. And we will do that by word as we teach and preach the word of God, but also in deed. Lord, I know that there were mentors in my life. Some are with you now who lived their lives well and they impacted me. No, they were from a different generation. And I didn't relate in some areas of my life, but in a lot of areas I related perfectly. And so I pray that we would be able to be cross-generational in this church. And Lord, I just pray that we would also be able to reach out across different ethnicities, different economic and income related issues, all the things that separate us, Lord. All those things fall away when we know Christ. Again, it's in Galatians. I don't know where it is, but it talks about how there's no Jew, no Greek, no rich, no poor, no woman, no slave, no free, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, how I pray that that would happen. Because we are so divided as a nation right now. And even Christians are divided. And Lord, that's a tactic of the devil. The enemy is wanting that to happen. And Lord, I'm praying against that right now. I thank you for the sweet unity that I've gotten to experience in some meetings and things I've been a part of recently that was unexpected. Just an unexpected blessing from you. And I pray that that would continue. And Lord, that we would be uniters. And as far as it's possible with us, that we would be at peace with all people. That's what we're to be about, because this world is not our home. We're strangers. We're just passing through to our real home, which is in heaven. So God, help us to live with eternity in view. And again, I thank you for this sweet time we've had tonight. Lord, if people need to stay longer, just make their hearts sensitive. Open to your spirit. And if we just need to spend time praying for and with one another, I pray that we would do that. This is your time. We give this night to you. We want to sit at your feet and hear from you, but also be useful tools for you. Thank you again for your great salvation. Not one of us in this room deserve it. No one in the world deserves it. In fact, we can't earn it, but you freely give it to us. And again, as Bradley said, your will is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. What an awesome message. What a great God. It's a message worth giving our lives for. So help us to lay our lives down, surrender our lives to the mission of the church. And Lord, just to be on mission for you. And what that looks like at Hillcrest is that we exist to see lost people saved, saved people discipled, and discipled people sent. May it be so for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.